Morning. Today's Daf Nevo deserves Chav Tes. We are in the bottom of Chav Chesam Beis, towards the bottom. We're starting this morning with the words Amar Rabba Bar Zutra Amar Rabbi Chanina. We're talking about Refuos. The Gemara is giving us a list of various remedies that one could do in terms of various ailments. This is not the only time in Shas the Gemara has this discussion. Gemara has this place, has this number of places in Shas. Just very briefly before we get back into the Gemara, and I struggle over every word of the Gemara and try to tell you what the Gemara means to the best of my ability, which, you know, is going to be limited. So I just make a comment that I mentioned last night between Mincha Maariv. The Gemara in Pesachim mentions the end of the fourth parak, a number of things that Chizkiyahu did. One of the things that he did is he took the Sefer Refuos and he hid the Sefer Refuos. And not everything he did was approved by the Chachamim. The Mishnah over there mentions there are three things that he did that received approval, three things that he did that did not receive approval. But one of the three things that he did that did receive approval was the hiding of the Sefer Refuos. What is Sefer Refuos? So at face value, what it is it's a book of healing. In other words, it's some sort of anthology, where it deals with the various ailments and how to remedy them. Rashi brings down the reason why the Chachamim approved of his hiding of the Sefer Refuos is because if a person got sick, so instead of turning to Kadosh Baruch Hu for treatment, so what he'll do is he'll go run right to the Sefer Refuos and he'll get treatment from Sefer Refuos. And it was used as a means of bypassing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why the Chacham were very happy when he hid the Sefer Refuos. So that means to say that there were ways of healing, but Chizkiyahu says, but really we shouldn't go public with it. And so the question one can ask is that if the Chacham were so happy with Chizkiyahu's hiding of the Sefer Refuos, so why is the Gemara so freely dispensing medical advice and medical information, which seemingly should not be broadcasted to the public? So it's a very fair question. It's a very reasonable question. The Marasha asked that question. The Marasha is in Pesachim. Marasha asked that question in terms of how the Gemara can give out such free advice, medical advice, when clearly that's something which should not be broadcasted, especially if it's good medical advice. So anyway, so see the Marasha in Pesachim for an answer. Although, as I pointed out last night, for the Rambam, this would never be a question. Why? Because the Rambam over in his Perusha Mishnah, that Mishnah Pesachim, says that's not Sefer Refuos. Most Rishonim explain Sefer Refuos as a book of remedies. The Rambam says that's not what it is. The Rambam says if Sefer Refuos was actual medicine, if it was like real medicine and real ways of healing people, so of course the Rambam writes, of course they wouldn't be hiding it. In other words, the Rambam writes, he states this very clearly. If a person's hungry, you're going to give him food. If a person's thirsty, you're going to give him something to drink. If a person's sick, you're going to give him medicine. In other words, the Rambam treats medicine like such a basic need that there is no way that if the Chachamim had a way of healing people, so they would just simply hide that information. There's no way. And as far as what is Sefer Refuos, so the Rambam writes that Sefer Refuos is some sort of voodoo superstition, cult manual, but it's not real science. When I say real science, I mean 10th century real science or 5th century real science or whatever. By the way, who wrote the Sefer Refuos? So some are of the opinion that was written by Shlomo HaMelech. But whatever. The Rambam does not agree with that. Rambam feels that it's silliness. It's, it's nonsense. It's superstition. Okay.
So why did he hide it?
Because people were following it, meaning it was popular. Okay. Anyway, but that's the... Yeah, okay, right. Okay, anyway, so just quickly, okay, now with that in mind, that was the, that's the broader discussions, which are much, much easier to have, and now we get to the nitty-gritty, we're back to the Gemara, various ailments, various remedies, Chav Ches Amud Beis, we'll start with Amar Rabba Bar Zutra, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Malin Aznayim B'Shabbos, you can lift up the ears on Shabbos, so Gemara here is probably talking about some sort of ligaments. There was some sort of ligamental damage to the ears, and the Gemara over here is describing some method of manipulation where you're going to raise them, where you're going to raise the ears back up, and you can do so even on Shabbos. Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Biyadav Lo Basam. So on Shabbos, so you could do this manipulation with your hands, but you can't do so with medicine. Igad Armi Basam Avlo Biyad. And some say no with medicine, but not with your hand. My Tamim is of Zarif. Now, what is the consideration over here? So Rashi points out as follows: the one who says you could do the manipulation with your hand and not with medicine is because we know there's an Issur D'Rabbanan to use medicine on Shabbos. So therefore, in other words, any manipulation you do with your hands, but not with medicine. Once you start playing around with medicine, so you're going to end up grinding the medicine on Shabbos, and that's a Chilul Shabbos, that's Malacha D'Oraisa. Let's go the other direction. What about the opinion that says that you should use medicine and not your hand? Why? So the Gemara says, because when it comes to medicine, so the chances are is that you'll do treatment and you won't make any kind of wound whatsoever. If you do the manipulation with your hand, you're going to make a wound. Making a wound on Shabbos, that's a Malacha D'Oraisa. So even though using medication, I'm not talking about preparing medication, using medication is an Issur D'Rabbanan, but making chabur is an Issur D'Oraisa. So Rashi says that's why, that explains the other side, that it's better to use medicine because they're only then violating an Issur D'Rabbanan, but don't use your hand because you're probably going to make a wound, and that would be a Malacha D'Oraisa. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tovye, Amar Rav, Ayin Shemarda. So if your eye literally rebels against you, the Gemara over here is describing a swollen eye. So Mutal Kocha B'Shabbos, you can put some sort of application in the Ayin Shabbos in order to reduce the swelling. So Savri Minei Ayinim Elihu Desachi Semanim Asmol. So the Gemara says, I think that we're talking about where the application was already ground up prior to Shabbos. Ava Mesachik Meshachik B'Shabbos V'Asuye Derech Rishos Rabim Lo. But if we're talking about grinding it up on Shabbos, or if we're talking about transporting it through Rishos HaRabim, either one of them would violate an Issur D'Oraisa of Chilul Shabbos. So that you're not allowed to do, because we're just talking about a swollen eye. So Amar Lei Haim Rabban of Rav Yaakov Shmei L'Didi Mefarshim Minei de Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yaakov says, I heard this directly from Rav Yehuda. I feel him Mishchak B'Shabbos V'Asui Derech Rishos HaRabim Mutar. No! He's talking about your eyes over here. You can violate Issur D'Oraisa when it comes to your eyes. As the Gemara is about to tell us, the eyes are critical, meaning not only for sight, but just for simple life. In other words, it's considered sekanas nefashos. The Gemara is going to explain why in just a moment. Rabbi Yehuda shar lemichal einei b'Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda allowed a person to put some sort of eye application in a Shabbos. I'm the Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda mansayis leYehuda machal shabei. So Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda makes a very strong statement. You listen to the heter of Rabbi Yehuda, so you're mechal Shabbos, meaning you cannot prepare the eye application on Shabbos, and doing so would be a violation of Shabbos. L'sof chash be'inei. Now, after Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda made such a statement, so now his eye is swollen. And now he wants a treatment, and it's Shabbos. So shalch le'shar yo'asir. So now he sends a letter. Would it be mutter, would it be asir? Now remember, just a moment ago, he said that anyone who follows this psak is being mechal Shabbos. So of course, why did he ask? And so the Gemara over here is a little bit tricky. It's a little bit difficult to understand. Kipshuto, the simple pshat in the Gemara, which is not, you know, it's not the nicest pshat in the Gemara, is that, you know, for other people it was easy for him to be machmer, but then for himself it's harder to be machmer. But, you know, I don't love that pshat. It doesn't put him in the best light. But anyway, so shalach le l'chule ame shar l'dicha asar. So Rav Yehuda came back a very biting remark, and he said, look, as far as everyone else is concerned, I said it's mutter. As far as you're concerned, it's asur, right? You yourself thought it was asur, right? You know, it may fall under the category of shavya nafshei chiticha deisura, meaning that was your psak, that was your consideration, and so therefore, no, I don't think you could do it. V'chi mididihu damar shmulhu he, and Rav Yehuda says, and look, let's go one step further, right? I issued the psak that using that preparing the application on Shabbos would be mutter. But it's not me. Meaning, I got this as a tradition from Shmuel. Because I am Amata Dehave Beb Mar Shmuel. There was a maidservant who lived in the house of Shmuel around, right? Who lived in the house of Shmuel, Dekat Chaleine. So she had an inflammation of the eye. Bishabasa, Tzavcha, she was screaming as her eye was inflamed, Veleka Dashrachba. But nobody responded, and nobody treated her. Paka Ene, and her eye literally exploded. Lamachar, Nafak Mar Shmuel Vidarish. So, and the next day, Shmuel gets up there, and Shmuel publicly says, Ayin Shemirda, Mutar L'Kol Chole B'Shabbos. Shmuel says very clearly that if your eyes are rebelling, if you have a swollen eye, so you're allowed to treat on Shabbos, even if it involves Issur D'Oraisa, it's considered Sekanas Nefashos. Why is an eye considered Sekanas Nefashos? So, my time D'Shuryina D'Einam Be'uv Nasa D'Li Batalo. So, here's the line of the Gemara. The Gemara says that the seeing of the eye is connected to that of the heart, And so therefore, we're really talking about internal organ. As we said in yesterday's daf, anytime we're talking about an internal organ, so that is sakaras nefashos, you are allowed to be mechal al Shabbos. So over here, the eye being that's connected to the heart, so therefore, it represents a sakaras nefashos. What does that mean, the eye is connected to the heart? So sharyina de eina beliba talu. So take a look at the top tosas on the amud. There are only two tosas on this amud. So you take a look at the top tosas, right? Perishakunshus ma'or ha'ayin talui betarshe deliba. So the illumination of the eye is somehow connected to the understanding of the heart. no, I'm sorry. That's Tosfos is going to say that pshat. Sorry. The illumination of the eye is somehow connected with the tarfshe deliba, some sort of, hard to say, some sort of muscle of the heart maybe, some sort of lobe of the heart. Anyway, that's Rashi's explanation. But however, velinira beuvnasa deliba talu klamar rias ayin talu bahavanas alev. Tosa says no. I don't think there's an actual physical connection between the eye and the heart. But Tosa says that when you see, so you'll have better havana, right? In other words, it seems like what Tosa is saying is that havana comes from the lave, right? The obviously we know anatomically, right? Physically, the heart is there to pump the blood, but Tosfos' understanding is that when you see, your heart will understand. And Shuryana Bishin Kamo Ashurna Velo Karov. Meaning, right, Ashrena. So the Velo Karov. So in other words, basically, it means that it has to do with a better understanding, a clear understanding. So, okay, wherever the understanding is coming from. It's coming from the heart, it's not coming from the heart. But in other words, according to Tosfos, with the ability to see, so you're going to have a much better understanding of the world, and therefore that understanding is considered internal, and so therefore it's considered sakanas nefashos, and you're allowed to save someone okay, for a possible loss of eyesight. Okay. Right, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't mention that. I mean, yeah, right, the Gemara says it a number of times. It's considered chash of kemes, and so why the Gemara doesn't invoke that argument over here, it's a good point. It's a really good point. Okay. So the Gemara now is going to give us symptoms. So now, right, like I mentioned yesterday, it's such a good textbook. The Gemara talks about symptoms. The Gemara talks about treatments. So the Gemara over here now deals with symptoms. So Amar of Yehuda Kagon, Rira, you have discharge, Ditsa, a sharp pain, Dama, some blood, Dim Asa, extra tears, v'kidcha, inflammation, v'tachlas uchla, and that's all at the beginning of the illness. La'afuki sof uchla, u'pitzuche eina adela. The Gemara says, however, if you're at the end of an illness and your eyes are a little bit inflamed at the end of the illness, so the Gemara says that's not such a big deal, you're not mechal Shabbos for that. Pitzcha eina, or let's say, you're putting in the application just simply because you want clearer vision. Okay, so for clearer vision, you want to put in the application. The Gemara says no. In other words, there has to be the symptoms that we described in the earlier, earlier part of this line, right? The sharp pain, the discharge. Those are the kinds of symptoms which are life threatening. I'm Rav Yehuda Zibora. If a person was stung with a bee, ude chraze sule, or pierced with a thorn, the symptom has got a blister, v'tchayv le'ena, or his eyes aching, v'asilave ishti, and then with any of these symptoms, a person goes to the bathhouse. So going to the bathhouse is going to be hazardous to the individual. He already has basically an internal inflammation, and so that now going to a hot bathhouse with an internal inflammation, so that's hot to hot, and the Gemara says that's no good. So Gemara now continues. The Gemara talks about various foods which are going to serving as remedies for various ailments. Chama lechama. Chama over here is a radish. Radish is good for chama, for a fever. Vesilka, and if you have beets, latsina. So that's going to be good for a chill. Vechilufa sakanta, but don't flip it around. Meaning radishes are not good for a chill, and beets are not good for a fever. Chamima lakrava, get bitten by a scorpion. So hot compresses are wonderful. Krira lizibora, cold compress for a bee sting. V'chilifa sakanta, but don't flip that around. Chamima, a hot compress would be good for silu. Again, if you get stabbed with some sort of thorn. V'kriri, a cold compress, lechas penisa. So for some sort of facial scab. V'chilifa sakanta, and the Gemara says, and don't flip that around. We're now on the top of Chavtes Amad Aleph, continuing along various ailments and remedies. Chalal Zibori, the bloodletting from the shoulder, the umunina, and small fish latanisa vechilufa sakanta. So I'm sorry, vinegar. Sorry, vinegar is good for bloodletting, meaning post bloodletting. So you should be eating a little bit of vinegar, or drinking maybe. And if you're fasting, so what's good to break fast on? So small fish. Small fish is wonderful. Sounds like after. Okay. V'chilufa sakanta, and the Gemara says, and the opposite is not good. So the tachlev is siboris sakanta, ishtev is siboris sakanta. The Gemara says, if let's say you're bloodletting and you're going to eat a little bit of cress, that's not good. Ishtev is siboris sakanta. If you are having a fever and then you're bloodletting while having a fever, so the Gemara says sakanta once again, that's no good. Kaiv einam v'savuri sakanta. If you have some sort of eye ailment and you eat sabure, so that's not good. That causes a danger. Sheni ledag dam, sheni ledam dag. Eating fish either before the bloodletting or after the bloodletting. Sheni just simply means the day before. I know it means two. But in other words, the day before bloodletting or the day after bloodletting, so that's good. However, shlishi lo sakanta. But if you're eating fish a third day after the bloodletting, so in other words, bloodletting counts as day one, then you take a break and then you eat fish on day three. So sakanta, the Gemara says that's going to be a danger. Tan Rabbanan. Hamekiz dam. A person who is bloodlet. Lo yochal chagbash. So a person should stay away from these foods. Lo chalav, lo gvina, lo betzalim, lo shechlayim. Now milk, now cheese, now we have in our Gemara the word betzalim, the Rach has the word beitzim. It's either onions or eggs, v'lo shechlayim and not cress. Im achal amar abayin eisi riviyasa dechalav riyasa dechamra. Now what if you do eat these after bloodletting? So what should you do? So you should make basically a salad dressing. Vinegar and wine, vinaravina bahadi adada vinishte, mix it together and drink it together. Vechim efana. Now, after drinking basically your wine and your vinegar, I know the Gemara over here gets really detailed. Vechim efana. Now, you're going to go to the bathroom afterwards, and it's not going to be a pleasant bathroom experience. It's going to be a most unpleasant bathroom experience. Vechim efana, lo mefana le mizrach ha-shoir. So go to the east side of the city, do not go to the west side of the city. Mishub de kasharecha, because that bathroom is going to be extraordinarily unpleasant, and the smell is going to be nearly unbearable. And if you are in the west side of the city, so the wind is going to be blowing it in the direction of the city, and so by simply going and relieving yourself on the other side of the city, you will be avoiding that experience for you and for others. I'm Rav Yeshua Malevi Malan Avankli B'Shabbos. So one is allowed to raise the Avankli on Shabbos. My Avankli, I'm Rabbi Abba, Istumcha Deliba, so it's Istumcha Deliba. Now, I already went over this with one cardiologist today. I get the good fortune of having now a whole team of cardiologists over here in the room. And so you, by all means, go and give me your best guess in terms of what this is. I will read the Rashi, so I'll give you a little bit of help in terms of identifying what it is. Istumcha Deliba. Rashi over here offers two pshatim. So Rashi over here says, Dufne Basar Shetachas Alev. It's some sort of wall of muscle that is underneath the heart. Vihi Tirpusha. And it's the Tirpusha. Now this is, we described the Tirpusha just a moment ago in the Gemara, but this is the reference to the Tirpusha. So somehow there's some manipulation that can be done in order to raise this. It could be a reference to the diaphragm, maybe. But Rashi offers another pshat. Lishna Achrina Rashi says, Tanokh Shekeneged Alev. It's some sort of lobe that is opposite the heart. Shikarin nivla. So Rashi describes it as a nivla. Upamim shenichnaf letzad pnim. Sometimes it's folded over internally. Umeakev is anishima, and it prevents breathing. Vizeika Rashi says that this is a better pshat in terms of what it is. Okay, even after Rashi says it, again, I'll leave it to you to guess what exactly Rashi is describing over here. And keep in mind, In terms of just another clue, the Gemara says that you could do some sort of manipulation. I don't think the Gemara is talking about anything invasive. I think the Gemara here is talking about somehow manipulating from the outside.
I know that with the respiratory diaphragm, which is like a trampoline that separates, that's under the heart.
Right.
When we do body work,
right.
It helps relax it.
Right. The first part of Rashi certainly seems to suggest that that's what it's describing. Yeah. Rashi doesn't like the, right, just full admission. Rashi doesn't like that first shot, but okay. He does offer it. Maya Susa, the Gemara says, what do you do to cure it? So Maisi Kimuna Karuya, so bring a spoonful of cumin, vanina and mint, the agadna, some sort of bitter grass, vitsisari and savory, the avadata and hyssop, and laliba. Now, if what's hurting you, if what's ailing you is your heart, so bechamer, so you're going to take these spices, grind them up, and mix them together with wine. And you know wine's good for the heart. Pasuk in Tehillim says it. Lerocha. Now, if we're talking about for shortness of breath, right, perhaps something like asthma. So b'maya, so you take these spices and mix it with water. V'simancha, and the simen is v'rucha l'kim rechefis al p'nei hamayim. It is hovering over the water. And lakuda, and if we're talking about post-childbirth, where, again, these spices are good, so bishikra, so take it and mix it with beer, and give the recovering the mother some beer together with these spices, and that would be good remedy for her. V'simancha v'kada al shechma. Kada, it's a simon, it's just a mnemonic to help us remember. It's a play on words. V'kada from the word v'kuda, which is childbirth, and shechma, shechar. Okay, so it's just help us ways of helping us remember. Now the Gemara says that various Amoraim tried to put together this little potion and with varying degrees of success. Rav Achabre de Rava ground it up together, in other words, all the spices that we mentioned, and he took five fingers full, meaning a fistful of it. V'shasilei, he put in the liquid and he drank it. Rav Ashi shakilei kol chavachad luchuda v'shalak malei etzbiyosav rabase umalei etzbiyosav zutrasi. And when Rav Ashi ground it up, he took just a pinch full. Right, the Gemara has a great way of describing it. Right, his big finger and his little finger, what we would call a pinch full. And Amar Papa anavdil cholhani v'lo ista'it sa'i. So, and Rav Papa said, look, I tried it out and it didn't work for me. Ad amar li ahutaya, but I was then informed by an Arab, I see kuzi chadato maya maya. You got to take a new jug, fill it with water. Rami be tarvasa de dufcha. Put a spoonful of honey in. Detali be kuchve that stayed overnight. In other words, that was outside overnight. Ulamach harishte, and then drink it the next day. Avdihachavitse, and I followed his advice, and I was healed. Okay, so again, various degrees of success amongst the Amoraim in terms of putting these potions together. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa. There are six things which heal the person, and the healing is a good healing. And they are ve'elohen krov, cabbage, tardin beets, mesisin yevesha. They describe it as penny royale. I don't know what penny royale is. So, okay, but anyway, that's how it's described. Keva. Keva is the fourth stomach of the animal. It's also the fourth thing in our list over here. It's a good mnemonic to help you remember. Right? In a ruminating animal, there are four stomachs. And when we get to Masech Tuchulin, we're going to be describing the stomachs in great detail. So anyway, the fourth stomach is called the keva. Actually, it comes up twice in today's daf. Once medically, which is right now, and once halachically on the Amud Beis. So keva is a popular topic in today's daf. So that is, eating the keva is, it says the Gemara, extraordinarily healthy. Haras, eating the uterus of the woman, also super healthy, and Yoseris HaKaved and the diaphragm. Meaning the diaphragm also is very good. V'yeshor me'maf dagim ketanim, some say also small fish. V'alo odel shadagim ketanim mafram amarbim kol gufa shal adam. It is just therapeutic for the entire body altogether. Asar dvar machzir nesachol l'chalya v'chalya kasha. 10 things that you eat are going to bring a person back to a state of illness, and it'll make it actually worse. It'll exacerbate the situation. Elohena ochel baser shor, you eat the meat of an ox, shuma. Now we have it as, you could read it as one thing, but in other words, if you're going to number it to 10, which I did, so you're going to have to break up baser shor and shuman. They are two separate things. Baser shor is the meat of an ox, and shuman, right, Rashi says over here, not Rashi, sorry. The Misar Sashah says over here, klamer chelav tahor, o shuman shel ofas. We're talking about just pure fat. Right, either that of either kosher chalev, which comes from a wild animal, meaning you're allowed to eat, we're allowed to eat the chalev of a wild animal, or maybe it's the fat of a bird, which also is mutter, you're allowed to eat that as well. Huh?
Is there chalev
I mean,
chalev
not chaylev in the halachic sense, but in other words, it was fat. So, it's got right. It's right. That fat's delicious, but okay. Okay, anyway, it's the Shuman, that's number two. Basar Tzli, roasted meat, is three. Basar Tziporim, the meat of birds, is four. Beitzah Tzluya, roasted eggs. Six is Shechlaim, cress. Tiglachas, shaving. Mercha, it's the bathhouse. Gvina is cheese. And Kaved is the liver. Okay, so the chopped liver industry. But keep in mind, by the way, I know I've said this already a number of times, I'll say it again. Right, the medical advice dispensed by the Gemara is something which, at the time of the Gemara, was extraordinarily helpful. But already, Bizman Hazeh, times have changed, Nishtana Teva, nature has changed, and what the Gemara says is good may not necessarily be good, and what the Gemara says is bad may not necessarily be bad. So, okay, so anyway.
Covered on both lists.
Huh? You noticed that also, right? Oh, the previous list was Yoseris HaKaved. That's a diaphragm. Right, this is the kaved. This is the actual liver itself. Okay, v'yeshomim, there are those who say af agozim. That's also should be included in the list of bad things. Yeshomim af kishum, and here the Gemara goes off on cucumbers. Okay, we've seen this already a couple of times. Tan debe Rabbi Shmuel, lam nikrash ma kishum, im neshe in kash l'chol gufan shal adam kecharavas. They're bad for a person. They're like swords. They're like swords on the flesh. They're terrible, cucumbers. The Tosfos already pointed out that Rebbe and Antonino, so they had cucumbers at their table all the time. And so Tosos asked, not here, but Tosos above, asked, well, the Gemara over here says that cucumbers are bad. Previously, Rebbe had them at his table, and the Gemara was praising Rebbe. So Tosos says there are different types of cucumbers. Some are bad, some are good. Okay. Amosaper man b'chol makom. And here we now, we continue in the Gemara, and now we're talking about getting a haircut. So remember our Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah was already some time ago. Right? We spent now a day and a half with the medical advice of the Gemara. We are now back in the Mishnah, and we're learning up the Mishnah, and we're talking about going to the non-Jew for both medical treatment and for a haircut. Did you know, back in the good old days, so your barber was also your dentist, right? Okay,
and your surgeon.
And what?
And your surgeon.
And your surgeon. Okay, good. Anyway, so did you know? So so the fact that the Mishnah over here has medical advice right next to a haircut, okay, it's not unusual in the good old days. So anyway, look, he had a knife in his hand anyway. So in other words, okay, so the hair, and then, you know, just a little bit of surgery afterwards, it's all good. So the Mishnah, sorry, okay. So the Mishnah over here describes now that that in terms of the haircut, so there's a machlokus in the Mishnah. So I'm going back to the Mishnah, I'm just reviewing. Aim is not by man, machol makom divrei Reb Meir. So Reb Meir, again, he's been consistent throughout all these Mishnayos, is that you cannot go to a barber for a haircut. I don't care where the barber is. He's in a Rishus Yachid, in a Rishus Rabim. It does not matter to me. We're talking about your life over here. He's got a razor in his hand. You're sitting there in the chair. So you cannot put yourself in such a compromised position. The Chachamim Omrim Rishus Rabim, Motar V'lo Beino L'Veino. And the Chachamim say no. In a public area, that would be fine. But if you are going to a private barber in the privacy of his own home, and you're exposing your neck to his razor, so that you can't do. Okay, so that is the machlokas in the Mishnah between Rameir and the Chachamim. Tanu Rabbanan. We now, in our Gemara Yisrael, Misabrim of the Chachamim, Roeb b'mar'eh. So if, the Brisa says, if a Jew is going to get a haircut from a guy, so use a mirror. By the way, this is one of those good examples where the English word and the Hebrew word are one and the same, right? Mirror, mar'eh. So the Gemara says, so what you're going to do is you're going to look in a mirror. Now, if let's reverse it, where I have now the Jew cutting the hair of a guy, what's the problem? There's no problem with the Jew cutting the hair of a guy. Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. So it used to be that back in the day, so the fashion of the idolaters was to leave the lock of hair growing in the back, cut the rest of the hair, and leave the lock of hair growing in the back, and that was done for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. So if you give him such a haircut, so you're going to be aiding and abetting in his idol worship. So obviously you don't want to do that. So when you're giving him a haircut, so what you're supposed to do is make sure that you don't give him this kind of special haircut, so because you're going to be aiding and abetting his idolatrous practice. So leave some other hair around. I'll explain what that means in just a moment. Amar Mar Yisrael Mestaprim Ovek Kochav Merob Bemare. So if you're going to get a haircut from a non-Jew, we're talking about the first part of the Braisa, Jew in the chair, non-Jew giving a haircut, use a mirror. So the Gemara says, Hechidam, the Gemara says, now I don't understand. If we're talking about we're in a public domain, you don't need a mirror. Meaning by virtue of the fact that you're in a public domain, let's assume that we're holding like the Chachamim, so that's enough of an impediment where he's not going to kill you. And Iber Shosayachi Kiro Mai Have. So the Gemara says, and let's say in the Shosayachi, great, you're going to watch him kill you. That's wonderful. Okay, so not only is he going to kill you, but you get to watch it as well. So the Gemara says, and that's not going to help. So the Gemara says, Olam b'Rishusayachin. So the Gemara says, no, the Brice over here is talking about in Rishusayachin. They gave him the Ikamara and Mishazik Adam Chashav. And you know how the mirror is going to help? Because by virtue of the fact that you have to watch him give you a haircut, you know what that means? It must be, you must be somebody important. Because you're using a mirror. Clearly back in the day, the mirror was not used. Even in the barbershop. The mirror was not used. But if you're using a mirror, it means that you need to see how the haircut's going. Because obviously you're a really important person, your haircut's got to be so good. It's funny, for us nowadays, that's considered normal. It would be abnormal for the barbershop not to have a mirror. But anyway, so the Gemara says that's how the mirror helps. The mirror helps by giving you now the status of an Adam Chashev, as we've seen already a number of times. For an Adam Chashev where the guy is afraid to kill him, so then that would be okay, that would create an impediment. Okay, now, I'm going to read a little bit more of the Gemara, and then I'm going to go back and ask a most basic question, which I'm sure you're wondering. Rav Chana bar Bizna have a mistaprim of a kochavim, b'shvili dinarda. Rav Chana bar Bizna would receive a haircut in the shvili naharda. Shvili naharda now is an interesting area, meaning it's not a rishus harabim, it's not a public domain, but at the same time, however, it's not a rishus yach, it's not a house. It's in some sort of back alley. There is some traffic over there, but it's not a rishus harabim. So Amarle, now as the barber, the idolatrous barber, is giving Rav Chana a haircut, so basically he's musing as he's holding the knife in his hand. Chana, chana, yaikuch lezuga. Your throat would be wonderful for this blade, meaning I wish I can kill you. So Amar, so basically the barber threatened his life. Now, what exactly, some more details, did he run away? Was the barber just toying with him? Not perfectly clear, but clearly there was a threat. And now, you don't just get threatened for no reason whatsoever. He understood this as a simon. Amar, so Rav Chana said, Tesili de Avre ad Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, you know what I did? I violated Rav Meir. Meaning Rav Meir says, you're not allowed to get a haircut from a guy. I went and I got a haircut from a guy. And Rav Meir says that regardless of where you are, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, doesn't matter, you can't get a haircut from a guy. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Rav Chana, that you just violated the opinion of Rav Meir? We can say better. Adarabban Lawavar, Eimadam Rabban Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid Miyamur. You weren't getting a haircut on a public street. It was in a back alley. And you got a haircut over there. We're going to treat that more like a Rishus HaYachid than we are going to treat like a Rishus HaRabim. And if it's a Rishus HaYachid, not only did you violate Rav Meir, you also violate Shitas Chachamim as well. So what do you mean you didn't accept the Chumra of Meir? You didn't accept the cool of the Chachamim. So Vahusa Rishula Darna Kevin Dishchichi Rabim Ki Rishus HaRabim Damu. Now here's what he thought. He thought, look, it's true that the Shvili Naharda is a back alley, but there's some traffic. And he thought that this qualified in this area of Halacha. He thought that it qualified as a Rishus HaRabim, and so therefore, he didn't feel like he didn't feel that this was a violation of the Shita of the Chachamim. He only felt that it was a violation of the Shita of Rav Meir. But still, he
said in the Mishnah that the loychayish the shvichas dumen. Rav Meir says you don't do it by goy because he's chayish the shvichas dumen. The Rabbonim.
They are choshesh. I'm sorry to correct you. They are choshesh. The Chachamim say that the only time you can do it is in Rishus HaRabim. But in the Rishus HaYachid, you can't do it, even according to the Chachamim. Okay. So he felt that he was deserving of such a punishment because he violated the Shita of Ramei. Okay, one of the bigger questions which the Gemara does not discuss, which we're going to spend just a couple of moments discussing, is use a mirror, don't use a mirror. What's the issue with the mirror? Meaning, the Gemara says that, well, you know, if you want to avoid a problem, so then use a mirror. That's what the Braisa says. As if to suggest that there's something wrong with the usage of a mirror. What's wrong with using a mirror? So our Gemara doesn't discuss, but Tosas does. Take a look at the Tosas over here. Tosas is long. I'm just gonna snip out some excerpts from Tosos over here. Some highlights. Tosfos on the top starts off at Mestaper Movi Kochavim V'ro B'Marid. Tanya B'Tosef to Per Gimel Uvi Yerushalmi de Pirkin. So he says, I'll give you two Marim Mekamos. Look at a Tosef on the third Perek of Avodah Zarah. We're right now in the second Perek of Avodah Zarah. So in other words, when you flip back to the end of the Gemara, you know the Tosefos are found in the back of the Gemara, of the standard editions. So you go to the Tosefos, open up to the third Perek over there, and open up a Yerushalmi on Avodah Zarah in our Perek. And you're going to find the following, and he quotes it. Yisrael Mesaper Movik Kochavim Ro Bemare Minakusi and Ro Bemare. So if you're getting a haircut from a guy, you look in the mirror. If you're getting a haircut from a kusi, don't look in the mirror. Perush, and Tosa says in Pshat, Lefisha Enam Chashunam Ashvichas Dam. The kusi is not interested in killing us. So therefore, you don't have to look in the mirror. He Tirush Obeis Rabbi Gamliel Shayi Ro Bemare. And a special dispensation was given out to the family of Rabbi Gamliel. Now remember, Rabbi Gamliel was a Nasi. So that meant that he had to often deal with authorities. He had meetings. He had to look good. And therefore, a special dispensation was given out that he can get a haircut and he can look in the mirror. Perish, af minakusim mimishai zikukim le machus. Mashmasha asa le ishtaros b'mara. Now the simple pshat in the Gemara is that under normal circumstances, one cannot look in the mirror. Vinira, and Tosas now writes, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Tosefta. Tosas writes, why? The reason why you can't look in the mirror is because that it's considered women's dress. Demetargam. Because even though the Torah talks about it in the context of dressing, but if you look at Targum Unklus over there in the Pasuk, and he writes, Lo yitakin gever bitikune isasa. A man cannot put himself together the way a woman puts herself together. It's not just limited to dress, but it's basically the entire getting yourself together. And since a woman, usually her practice is to look in the mirror as she's putting herself together, so therefore that kind of practice now is considered simlas isha, and therefore for a man it would generally be prohibited. That is the consideration, that's the concern of looking in the mirror. Tosos then goes on, I'm just taking excerpts out of this Tosos over here. Umiu eino asar. So I drop down to basically the last 15 lines of Tosos. So the first word on the line is liros b'mareu. Umiu. Tosos continues. Eino asar ki im leis na'os. Da'avra mishum lo yilbash gever. When is it prohibited for a man to look in the mirror? That's only if he's trying to make himself look good. Aval leis taper v'lagalech v'liros b'mareu shelo yichabel ba'atzmo. But let's say you have a pair of scissors in your hand and you're cutting some of your hair. Or you got a razor and you're shaving. No, not your face, because that's... You know, that's us, sir. But in other words, but basically, you're with a sharp instrument and you want to be able to see so that you don't hurt yourself. Tosfos says under those circumstances, for sure it would be okay. O mishum mechush einayim. Or let's say something's wrong with your eye and you have to play around with your eye and the only way you're going to be able to see what you're doing is a mirror. Vade mutter, Tosfos says under those circumstances, for sure it would be mutter. Ubochen libus yodea. Now you're looking in the mirror because you don't want to hurt yourself or because you want to make yourself look better. Bochen Libos, the one who understands the heart, meaning a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who yodea, he knows why you're looking in the mirror. Okay, v'halacha l'maisa, and then Tosfos points out, in terms of the actual bottom line halacha, l'istaper mavikol chavelim kein ro'eh b'mar'eh, right, I added the word as per the instructions of the Bach. So what you're going to do is you're going to look in a mirror, meaning you should use a mirror, meaning that because there is a consideration of him hurting you, so therefore, there's a dispensation to look in the mirror. And on top of that, you also have to be in a public area. Because Rav Chana himself was upset that he did not follow the opinion of Rav Meir. Meaning, but what it sounds like is that for sure, one should at least follow the opinion of the Chachamim, and that it should be done in a Rishus Rabbim. So Tosfos says, basically, if you want to get a haircut from a guy, again, this is the opinion of Tosfos. If you want to get a haircut from a guy, so you need both factors. You need to both be in a public domain, and you need a mirror on top of that. Vidavka Batar, but Tosfos also gives us a kula. And that is that when should you be concerned for your life? Only when he has a razor. Dishchich be'ezeka bekal. Aval b'misparayim, but if he's got just scissors, lo shchich bu'ezeka shari im yeshimo acher. So if all the barber has is just a pair of scissors, not a razor, so then you could be a little bit more lenient. As long as somebody else is with you, so then that would be okay. Okay, so the rules of a barbershop according to Tosfos. Let's go back to the Gemara now. Let's just finish up this.
Natural and mirrors in a social hall.
Okay. Halach, in terms of halach lamaisa, so you speak to your local Orthodox rabbi, right? I'm giving out the basics. How much hair should you leave over? Meaning, again, there was a certain practice back then where they would leave a certain lock of hair on their head, and that was done for idolatrous practices. If the idolater asked you to cut his hair, so you cannot leave it the way he likes it, but rather you have to leave some hair surrounding it. How much hair surrounding it do you have to leave? Amrav Malkiah, Amrav Achabar, Ava Shosha, Etzpaus, Echol Ruach, Veruach. So basically about 3 inches in every direction. Okay, and the chances are he'll never come back to you for a haircut, but that's fine. In other words, but you cannot leave it in the idolatrous manner in which he prefers.
There's no concern for Ava here? The guy's coming to you for a service and you're like not doing what you're supposed to
do. Right, right, okay. And right. Right. Okay. I like your question better than any answer I'm about to say, so I'll leave it off with your question. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chanina Bereder of Ika. So the Gemara says, let's go over 6 halachas. Right? We just did this in Makos. Let's do this again. There are 3 halachas. Shpot Shvachos Vegumos. So the halachas of Shpot Shvachos Vegumos. You'll forgive me. I think I said the same exact thing last time in Makos. I'm going to say it again over here in Avodah Zarah. I'm not going to go through all 6 halachas right now. They are scattered throughout Shas. Each one of these words represents a different halacha, and it's said over by Rab Malkiyo with a vav at the end. And the halachas of Blur Sefer Mikla and Gvina. There are another 3 halachas. Number 1 is what we're discussing right now, the halacha Bloris. So that is Rav Makiya. And that is said over in the name of Rav Makiya. Again, you just see the Gemara paying such careful attention to making sure that we give proper attribution. Meaning there are 2 Ma'amarayim. One's Rav Makiya and the other's Rav Makiya. And the Gemara over here is just with such specific attention to detail, make sure you get it right. That the first 3 halachas are said over by Rav Makiya and the second 3 Rav Makiya. Amra Papa Masnisa Masnisa Rav Makiya. Shmaita to Rav Makiya. And Rav Papa says no. That if it's a comment on a Mishnah or on a Braisa, that is Rav Makiya with a hey. And if it is an independent comment, not explaining a Mishnah or a Braisa, that's Rav Makiya. V'simana Masnisa Makasa. And the Gemara says if you want a mnemonic to help you remember Rav Papa's version of who said what, so know that Masnisa Makasa, which literally means the Braisa is a king, or better translated, the Braisa is a queen, right? They're both Belashon Nekeva. The Braisa is a queen, meaning that if you have a Braisa, you are in very good shape. So, Umay Beinayu, Ika Beinayu Shvachos. Now the Gemara points out that you go back, and I'm not gonna do the work right now, but you go back over the 6 halachas, you will then basically shuffle the deck, and then categorize which one is a comment on a Braisa, which one is an independent statement. Whichever is categorizing a Braisa, that's Rav Malkiya. Whichever is just an independent statement, that's Rav Malkiya. And the Gemara says Shvachos comes out as being the one difference. If you look at the bottom Rashi over here, you actually go through the work, right? I'm giving you homework tonight. You go through the work, you reshuffle the deck, you put everything in its right category. So Rashi points out it's not just going to be Shvachos, there'll be something else as well. Rashi addresses that problem. Okay. We turn now to the top of Chav Tes Amid Beis, and we start now the next Mishnah. Okay, this next Mishnah over here really introduces us to the second half of the second parak of Avodah Zarah. Meaning over here now we're going to be talking about the Suri de Rabbanan that deal with various products that are produced by the non-Jew. Our wine, oil, bread, cooked food. Okay, so all these things... Cheeses, okay, and the list is extensive. Things that are manufactured by a non-Jew that are going to be usser. Varying degrees of isser that are going to be being described over here in our Mishnah. Some of them are going to be isuri achila. Some of them are going to be asuri achila and isuri hana'a. One's not to get benefit from it. And we will be discussing all this. Upcoming in just a short couple days from now. Not a couple. More than a couple. Where's it start? Lamed Hay? Okay. Yep. Lamed Hay Amid Beis. Upcoming in, now I'll say, about a week from now, is Bishul Akam. But that's coming up. But over here we start off with things that are asur bihana. Eilu devarim sha'ofti kocham asurim v'isurin isur hana. There are those things that are produced by a ovei kochavim, and their prohibition is going to be such where you're not allowed to get benefit from them. So it's very interesting. These are gzeirah derabbanan. These are rabbinic decrees that are made, and the reason why they made them we're going to be discussing. But the result of their decree is that we are not allowed to get benefit from these items. Now let's consider. In the Torah does in fact prohibit certain things, a surei hana, that one is not allowed to get benefit from. Right, top on the list, I don't know about top on the list, but the one that is most common and popular to us is basar b'chalav. Right, if meat and milk are cooked together, so you're not allowed to do the act of cooking, you're not allowed to eat it once it's cooked together, and you're not allowed to get benefit from it. Meaning that there's an iser or enough from basar b'chalav. What does that mean, you're not allowed to get benefit from it? Meaning, in addition to not eating it, it also means you can't sell it, can't give it to your dog. Any kind of benefit, any kind of physical benefit that you're going to get from it, is also going to be prohibited as well. Right? Chametz bePesach, another example, where it's asur b'hana, not only can you not eat it, you can't benefit from it as well, as long as it's a food, as long as it's an edible food. So these are things that are asur b'hana. Now what we're learning together is that a list of things that the Chachamim slapped a gzera on, and even as a rabbinic decree, it's asur b'hana. And let's start off with the list in the Mishnah. V'isur misur hana hayayin. So number one on the list is wine. Chometz vinegar shalvdei chacham sheyem mitzchila sayayin, which started off as wine, but then soured and turned into vinegar. Basically, old wine. The Rashi over here on the top of the Amud writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside, sheyem mitzchila sayayin, I'm sorry, mitzchila sayayin. B'yadovi kochavim la'afuke eched ezavim avi kocham chometz misur delo mitzur b'hana. Rashi points out, let's say the guy bought vinegar, meaning it didn't start off as wine in the hand of a non-Jew, but rather he bought it as vinegar, so Rashi says that would be fine. Now, Rashi then writes, the time of the asur b'hana, mishum de dilma naschehu, v'chometz lo menasech. Gemara says, why did the Chachamim slap an iser? So Rashi over here introduces us to the topic of yayin nesach. Yayin nesach, wine that was used as libation for avodah zarah, so that is an iser min haTorah, and one cannot get benefit from that. Because of our concern that any wine that went through the hand of a non-Jew was used as Yayin Nesach, so therefore, Rashi writes, it would be Aser Midrabanan, because we're worried that's Yayin Nesach, it would be Aser Behana'a, just like Yayin Nesach is Aser Behana'a. Tosfos over here points out that, take a look at the top Tosfos. Now really Tosfos is commenting on the Gemara, but it's still relevant to this discussion right now. Tema. Our Mishnah over here is describing Stam Yena, meaning it's not Yayin Nesach. Rashi says we're concerned, the reason why the Chachamim made a concern is because of Yayin Nesach, but it's just Stam Yena. In other words, it's just wine that was owned by a non-Jew. Tosfos over here says that what's the reason why the Chachamim made a gzera? Binoseihem. What does that mean? Intermarriage. So Tosfos says, look, in terms of why the Chachamim made a gzera, intermarriage is really the driving force. If we and them drink wine together on a regular basis, and if we buy wine from them, so it'll lead to a social glue between us and them, and it'll lead to intermarriage. And miu lo hayasurim osam bahana mitam zem midi de havi apitam v'shmeinam. Ela avdura banan ki yai nesach kamrish nisnasach levnei avodas kochavim sha'asur min ator mishum didami lei v'al yai nesach shol ataman minalan. Tosfos basically says like this. I'm right and Rashi's right. Meaning we're both right. Meaning why did the Chachamim make the gzera altogether? What was the initial impetus? Answer is intermarriage. As far as now that we're talking about wine, what additionally is the concern when it comes to wine? Additional to that is Yayin Nesach. That's why, if it were just intermarriage by itself, the Isser would just simply be an Isser Achila. But now that Yayin Nesach now is a contributing concern and consideration, so that explains the Mishnah, where the Mishnah now says it's not only Asur B'Achila, it's also going to be Asur B'Ana as well. Okay. We're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. We'll pick it up at the beginning of the Mishnah.